But it's good to be with you. Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6. As we've been going through the study of the book of Acts, we find ourselves down to verse 8. The last time that I was with you, we were looking at the first 7 verses of Acts 6, which are pertaining to the deacons, that is, the early, the first ones appointed to be in that role of serving in the local assembly in a helpful manner. If you remember, by way of review, they picked out 7 men of honest report, those that could fill in the gap, you might say, because those that were teaching the word and leading the flock needed, in a sense, some help so that they would be freed up in the study of the word and being prepared to do such. And they had a need there with the widows and such as that, and they were looking for an answer. And they found 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and of wisdom, whom they appointed over the business, as it says in verse 3. And then, of course, the gathering as a whole thought that this was good. And if you notice in verse 7, the result of people filling in their various areas, some people helping in certain ways here and certain others in this area and what have you, we see what happened in verse 7, and the word of God increased. And that was our emphasis. Our emphasis of that message was to point out that regardless of what our roles are in the body of Christ, as we work together, we all have a part in seeing the word of God increase. Not everyone is going to be standing forth and proclaiming the word in a public manner, but we all are working together seeing it to come to pass. Because when one person is over here filling in their role, then we see that that keeps someone over here in their role, perhaps, instead of maybe something falling out of place and something being neglected. So the Lord works all this out. I wanted to review that just to say this. Today we'd like to look at a man named Stephen. And Stephen was one of those first deacons, if you will. The word deacon means simply to minister, ministers, not necessarily in the sense of a preacher minister, but minister in the sense of serving. All of us that know the Lord are to be ministers in that sense, to be servants of God. Whatever our ability is, whatever area of service we have, we are to be servants in that broad sense of the word. And as we see this man Stephen, along with they name these men, the scripture does in verse 5, Philip and Stephen being the two that will be followed up. The others, we do not see them mentioned perhaps anymore, or very rarely. But we see in verse 5, it speaks of a man named Philip and a man named Stephen. This is very important because the rest of chapter 6, all of chapter 7, speaks about this man Stephen. Chapter 8 speaks of the man Philip. And we see in the example of these men that these were godly men. Men that were appointed over the business of tending and helping the neglect of the widows, but at the same time, these are men giving out in a powerful way the word of God. These are men that, as we'll see with Stephen, was willing to be the first martyr, the first one to die, recorded in the word of God in the church age for the name of Christ. So we see these men truly were men full of faith and power. Let's read beginning at verse 8 of chapter 6. And just to note, we'd like to point out 3 main areas. We'd like to look at Stephen, the man of God. Secondly, we'd like to look at the fact that Stephen expounds the Old Testament to his audience as a way of bringing the very subject of the Lord Jesus Christ before them. And then thirdly, we see Stephen as he steadfastly looks up to heaven. So let's look at 6 and 8. It says, "And Stephen, full of faith and of power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines and the Cyrenians and the Alexandrians, and of them of Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake." And as you read on through here, we would see, picking up chapter 7, he gives this long dialogue of the Old Testament. And he does that all the way through verse 50. And then I'd like to pick up at verse 51 and read the rest of chapter 7. Verse 51 of chapter 7, after he gives this wonderful dialogue about the Old Testament scripture, he speaks to them and says, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of the angels, and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth." Verse 55, "But he," that is Stephen, as he's speaking of the Lord Jesus, he says, "But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses lay down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, and calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep." Now, we've tried to consolidate this portion down as a pretty lengthy portion, half of chapter 8 and all of chapter 7. We normally try to cover the main thrust of each chapter, but it seems appropriate to tie all this in together because it's the theme being the man Stephen. So as we consider these things, let's ask ourselves, what is a martyr? A martyr, we see the word is derived from the word witness. We think of a witness as someone who's willing to tell forth what he knows. Someone who's called to the witness stand simply is supposed to tell what he knows. But when we see the word tied in with martyr, we see the emphasis of how important it is to be willing to tell what you know and to stand for what you know is right, regardless of the consequence. We see a man, Stephen, who's willing to do so. We see relentlessly telling the truth, holding to the word, and yet, what does he do at the end? He prays for those who would be seen as his enemy. So let's consider here this man Stephen, this man of God, at the end of chapter 6, the man of God, notice in verse 8, a man full of faith. I believe we could consider this word full as perhaps a key word in this portion. When we think of Stephen, think of a man full. A man full. In verse 8 it says he's full of faith and power. We see down to chapter 7, and there near the end that we just read in verse 55, it says him being full of the Holy Ghost. So we see him full of faith, full of power, full of the Holy Ghost. When it described him as one of the deacons at the beginning of the chapter, it said he is full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. So he was full of things concerning Christ. He was full of spiritual things. He was overflowing. You see, think of this man looking at the end of the portion, looking at Christ, when he was dying and being stoned to death, his mind's eye was upon Christ. And unless you are full of him and led by his spirit, how could you pray for someone stoning you to death unless your eyes were upon the Lord? This is where this man was. So our exhortation would be today is we go forth in whatever realm, be it in your work situation, be it at home, be it in your neighborhood, be it proclaiming the word before people, be it giving out tracts, whatever way that you have opportunity to give out the word, we need to be full of Christ that we may have the power to do so. And as we consider these things, let's notice at the end of chapter 6, verse 9 and 10, we read those verses, speaking of all these people from different areas. He was witnessing before these various unbelievers. And also, as we read at the end of chapter 7, there he was at his martyrdom, witnessing of Christ. But if you notice here, we did not read in chapter 6, beginning at verse 11, we did not read those last verses of chapter 6. If you'll notice in that section, it tells us about these men that were set before him. Verse 11 says, then they suborned men. Now I looked that word up. It means someone who's willing to give a false oath. Someone who is set there for the purpose of being a false witness. So these ones that were against the Lord Jesus Christ, these religious people, you might say, in the early days of the church, ones that were still holding to Judaism, ones who rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, they would not have anything of this man, Jesus Christ. They would go so far as to having ones that were, as it says, ones willing to give a false oath, whatever it took to set them in a bad light. Anything to take the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and discolor it, that it would not go forth. Remember, early in the chapters of Acts, in chapters 3 and 4, remember how these ones called Sadducees, ones that were religious people, but yet they did not believe in the resurrection. They did not believe in any of the things that were supernatural. Because as we noticed in the early parts of Acts, supernatural things were still going on. The New Testament had not been recorded. These things were to legitimize, you might say, the things of God. We today have the completed Word of God. But the apostles and such men were able to do these miracles and such as the church age began. Well, they did not want to hear this, and they said, do not. We forbid you to preach in the name of the Lord Jesus. So these very ones, these Sadducees, the ones who would not hold to any of these miraculous things that were going on. They would not believe in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. They would not acknowledge these things. These are the ones. These are the ones, as we see Stephen speaking before them and others in these two chapters, we see they would not hear of this man Christ. They would not hear of what he had done. They would not hear that he had died for their sins. As we see in this particular portion here, he closed out at the end of chapter 7 so clearly. And I realize, and I, most of us realize this, I'm sure, this is not the only way you can talk to someone about the Lord. The Lord may lead you and put you in a situation that this is how you might have to approach it. But there's also times, obviously, when we can speak to someone in a personal way, someone who might be interested, someone who the Lord is already dealing with, and we can speak to them with more love and more of an approach of that nature, someone who the Lord is dealing with. Thank you for being with us. If you have any questions or concerns, please call us at 824-5525 or write us at P.O. Box 689 in Ramsor, zip code 27316. That is P.O. Box 689. All requests for tapes are free. We'd be thrilled to hear from you on the phone if you have any questions or concerns. Join us next time at 1 o'clock. To the Two Roads and to Destiny Radio Ministries.